On Ches Amud Aleph, we're going to start from the 15th line of the Gemara, the end of the line. So the Gemara says, Levi ikla levei Rebbe behilulei de Rav Shimon Berei, Baruch Chamesh, Rav Asi ikla levei Rav Ashi behilulei de Mar Berei, Baruch Shis. So the Gemara notes that these different Amoraim, they went to these weddings, and in one instance, they only recited five of the Sheva Brachos, in the other case, they only recited six. So the Gemara says, Lema behakam miflagei, de Mar Savar Chadi Yitzira Havai, Umar Savar Shtei Yitziros Havai. Presumably, the question of whether you should be reciting five or six, now this is of course excluding Borei Pri Hagafen, so it's really of the seven Brachos, the question of whether you should be reciting five or six seemingly is a question of how many creations did God have when creating a man and woman. So the Gemara says, "Lo dechule amachadi yitzira havai mar stavar baser machshava azlinan umar stavar baser ma'isa azlin." Everyone says, everyone agrees that there was only one creation, and the machlokas is, do we follow God's initial intent or what he actually did in the end? Ki hagdi Rav Yehuda Rame, k'siv v'ayivra elokim esa adam b'tzalmo, u'ch'siv zachar unkeva b'ra'am ha'ketzad, b'tchila ala b'machshava livro shnayim u'levisof nivra echad. The Gemara basically points out a contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk says that God created man in his image, but then it also says that he created man and woman, in other words, he created them, implying that they were two separate creations. The Gemara in Eruvin discusses this machlokas, right, about whether Hashem created basically one image of man and woman back to back and then separated them, or whether it was basically just man and then God fashioned woman from man. So the Gemara says that the way to resolve this contradiction is just simply to say that initially God intended to create two separate entities, and then in the end he created one, which he then divided into two separate beings. So that's the source of the machlokes as to whether we should combine the brachos of Yotzer HaAdam and Asher Yotzer HaAdam Mitzalmo, or whether they should basically just be one bracha. Okay, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Ikla Levei Rav Kahana, Yom Kama Baruch Kulu, mikan ve'elach i'ikaparim chadashos baruch kulu v'ilo afushe simcha ba'almahu. So the Gemara basically says that on the first day of Sheva Brachos, on the first day of the wedding, so everyone says you make the you recite Sheva Brachos, but after the first day, so Rav Kahana said you only recite Sheva Brachos if you have panim chadashos, as we spoke about yesterday, right? And if you don't have panim chadashos, if you don't have a new face there, so then it's just afushe simcha ba'alma. It's just an increase of simcha. It's a nice thing to have a meal, but there's nothing more to it. You can't recite the Sheva Brachos, as we pointed out yesterday, without Parim Chadashos. However, the Gemara says, Mevarich shehasimcha b'mono v'asher bara mishiva v'yad shloshim, bein amar lehu machmas ilula, uvein lo amar lehu machmas ilula. Mevarich shehasimcha b'mono, mikan ve'ilach, I amar lehu machmas ilula, mevarich shehasimcha b'mono, v'ilo lo. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. The Gemara says, even if you have a scenario where you're not reciting Sheva Brachos because you don't have Parim Chadashos, and it's just just an increase of simcha, you would still, however, say shehasimcha b'mono, which is what we add into the Zimun during Sheva Brachos, and also you would say the Bracha of Asher Bara, even if you did not have Parim Chadashos. That's during the first week after the wedding, from the 7th to the 30th day after the wedding. So the Gemara says, then it doesn't make a difference what the nature is. In other words, whether you call the people there because of the wedding, or you just wanted to have some kind of a party with them, you would say shehasimcha b'mono. But after 30 days, the Gemara says, you would only recite shehasimcha b'mono if you invited these people for the express purpose of celebrating the wedding. Let's say, for example, you had relatives who couldn't make it to the wedding, couldn't make it to the Sheva Brachos, whatever it was, and the only time they were able to come is 2 months after the wedding, so you expressly invited them for that purpose, so then you would recite shehasimcha b'mono. But if you're stopped just having a get-together, so once it's already after 30 days, then you do not recite it anymore. So the Gemara then asks, v'chiyamar le'machmas hilula arema. So the question is, if you're reciting, in other words, if you're having a gathering for the purpose of celebrating the wedding, so how many years, in other words, what's the cutoff point, right? In other words, if I have a party 5 years after the wedding, can I still say shehasimcha b'mono? So the Gemara says, no. Amar of papi mishmei derava, atresar yar. In other words, you have the full year. So any get together that's within the year, assuming that it's being done for the purpose of the wedding, that justifies saying shehasimcha b'mono. Me'ikara me'emas. And when do you initially? In other words, what's the earliest that you recite shehasimcha b'mono? Amar Rav Papa michira musare ba'asinta. Once you start to take the barley and you start the process of producing the beer for the wedding, you put the barley in the mortar to crush it up to make it into beer. In other words, once you're involved in the process of preparing for the wedding, you can already justify saying shehasimcha b'mono. no. So asks the Gemara, Ini v'harav papa, yasak la'abba marbere, uvarech mishas erisin. Rav Papa was preparing a wedding for his son, Abba Mar, and he already started to recite Shahasimcha b'mono and l'sheva brachos already from the time of erisin. So the Gemara says, no, shiny Rav Papa, the hava triach le. Rav Papa was the exception because there were others who were preparing the wedding on his behalf. Rav Papa, as we know, was exceptionally wealthy, so he had other people who were taking care of all of his needs. Other people were preparing the wedding for him. So he was already justified in reciting the Sheva Brachos and reciting Shai Simcha B'mono already from the time of the preparation of the wedding. Okay, then the Gemara says,
well, it seems odd to me that you should say a Simcha B'mono till actually the wedding takes place.
Well, yeah.
Who knows if it's gonna happen?
That, okay, very good. That's gonna be coming up in a second in the Gemara. Actually right now. The Gemara's gonna address that right now. So the Gemara says, Ravina Iasak Levre Be Rav Chaviva, Uvarech Mishas Erisin. So Ravina was helping his son, right, in the house of Rav Chaviva. In other words, his son was marrying into the family of Rav Chaviva, and he was helping to prepare for the wedding, and he already started to recite the Sheva Brachos and Shahasim Chubimono already from the time of Erisin. Amar Kimli Bigavayu de Lahadribu, like Billy was saying. So Ravina said, I know this couple's not gonna back out. I know that they're gonna get married. He was almost tempting fate here. And what happened? The Gemara says, Lois Diamos of Adribu. It turned out that it didn't work out. It turned out that the couple actually backed out and they ended up not getting married. Rav Tachlifa bar Marava Ikla Labavel, Baruch Shisa Richta, Veles Hilchasa Kivase. The Gemara notes that Rav Tachlifa, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, one time came to Bavel, and instead of reciting the normal text of the Sheva Brachos that we have, so he recited those six Brachos, again excluding Borei Pri Hagafen, as if they were all long Brachos. Now, not all the Sheva Brachos are long Brachos. Some of them are just Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Yotzer HaAdam, right? A long bracha in halacha means that it also ends with a baruch, right? In other words, not only does it start with Baruch Atah Hashem, but it also ends that way. So he basically changed the nusach, changed the text of the brachos to make all six of them long. But of course, we don't do that. We just follow whatever the regular nusach of the Sheva brachos are. Rav Chaviva Ikla Levei Mahula, Baruch Shahasimcha Bimono, V'leis Ilchasa Kivasei Mishum Detride De'Islei Tzara Lianuka. Rav Chaviva went to a bris, he went to a bris mila, and he recited Shahasimcha Bimono, but we don't do that. The reason why we don't say Shasimcha b'mono at a bris is because of the pain of the parents, the pain of the child, right, during the bris, so therefore we do not recite it. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Chasana min aminyan, ve'en avela min aminyan. Comes the Gemara with the following distinction. A chasan can count as one of the 10 people required for the Sheva Brachos, but when it comes to an avel, so when you're trying to have a minyan, let's say to recite Birkas Avelim, which we'll talk about in a second, what exactly that means, so then the avel does not count as part of that minyan. So asks the Gemara Meisvei, Chasanim va'avela min aminyan. The Brisa sounds like both Chasanim and Avelin count as part of the minyan. So the Gemara says, Masnisa karamis alei derav. Rav Tana who falling. The Gemara says, you can't ask a kashya against Rav from a Brisa. Rav is a Tana, and therefore Rav is justified arguing against what it says in the Brisa. Okay, then the Gemara says, Itmar, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Chasanim in a minyan, ve'in Avelin in a minyan. As we pointed out, the Chasan counts as part of the quorum, part of the 10 for Sheva Brachos, but the Avel does not for Birkas Avelin. So the Gemara asks, Mesve Chasanim ve'Avelin in a minyan, Kitanya hahibe Virkas Amazon, Kikaamar Rabbi Yochanan Beshura. The Gemara says that which we said that an avil counts as part of a minyan, that's for benching. So benching with a zimun, right, to be mitzari for a zimun. So the avil will count as part of that number, but he does not count as part of what's called the shura. The shura. This is a Gemara that appears in Sanhedrin and Maseches Bava Basra as well, which is that once the funeral was over, so basically the Avelim would walk, through this line of people, and they would all be menachim the Avelim as they were walking out of the cemetery. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Maseches Bava Basra that you cannot do this procedure of the Shura with less than a minyan. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the Avelim do not count as part of that minyan. Meaning to say, you need to have an additional 10 people aside from the Avelim standing in that line in order to qualify for this halacha of the Shura.
You're talking about the Kvura.
Correct. After the Kvura, exactly. After the Kvura, there's this additional halacha that you need to stand in the line to be Menachem Avilim, and you need to... Right, exactly. So you have to have a minyan excluding the avil for that. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ve'elo hada amar Rabbi Yitzchak amar Rabbi Yochanan mevarchim birkas chasanim ba'asara v'chasanim in a minyan u'birkas avilim ba'asara ve'en avilim in a minyan bracha b'shura mi'ika. So the Gemara pushes back. If it's really true that all Rabbi Yochanan meant is that when you're lining up to be Menachem Avilim after the Kvura that you need to have 10 people there, not including the Avel, but that's not what Rabbi Yochanan seems to say. Rabbi Yochanan, quoting this Tosefta, says that when it comes to reciting Sheva Brachos, you need to have a minyan, and the Chasen can count as part of the minyan. When it comes to Birkas Avelim, so you need to have a minyan, but the Avel doesn't count. The problem is that this Birkas Avelim is not being recited when you're walking out of the cemetery. There is no bracha that you say. In other words, you just say Hamakom Yenachim. That's not a bracha. When the Avelim are walking out of the cemetery, you're not making any sort of a bracha. So what exactly is the reason? Why do we require a minyan then? So the Gemara says, you're right. That which Rabbi Yochanan says that you require a minyan when the Avelim walk out of the cemetery, that's what's called the Rechava. The Rechava literally means like the town square, the public area. And that's a reference to what's called the Sudas Havra, right? That first meal that an Avel eats after the Kvura, once they're in Avelus. So in other words, that is what requires the minyan. There's no brach. In other words, that's where the bracha is recited. The Birkas Avelim, which again, we'll talk about in a second what exactly the Birkas Avelim is. It's recited in the Rechava when they're given that initial meal. So then the Gemara asks, V'elohad Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mevarchin Birkas Chasadim Ba'asara Kol Shiva V'Chasadim Min Aminyan U'Birkas Avelim Ba'asara Kol Shiva V'Ein Avelim Min Aminyan Birkas Rechava Kol Shiva Mi'ika. So the Gemara pushes back again. We said that when it comes to Sheva Brachos, you can recite, in other words, the Chasen counts as part of the Minyan, and you recite Sheva Brachos for all 7 days. Whereas when it comes to Birkas Avelim, you need to have a Minyan, but again, the Avel doesn't count. So the question is it really true that you're going to be reciting this Bracha in the Rechava all 7 days of Shiva? It's not true. You only make the Birkas Avelim on that first day when you get that initial meal. So the Gemara says, no, Mishkachas L'Befanim Chadashos. Just like we had a concept of Panim Chadashos when it comes to Sheva Brachos, you have a similar concept when it comes to Avelis, right? Every time a new person comes to pay a Shiva call, so it's the same idea. You're essentially recreating that idea. So every time a new person comes, there is a new obligation to recite Birkas Avelim. Ki hadar Rechia Baraba Makre B'nei D'Reish Lakishava V'Amrila Masne B'rei D'Reish Lakishava. Rechia was either he was a school teacher of Reish Lakish's son. Either he taught him Tanakh or he taught him Mishnah, whatever it was. So Shachiv Le'inuka. So Reish Lakish's son died. Yom Akama La'azal Ligabe. So the first day after the child died, Rechia did not go to pay a Shiva call. L'macher Davri Le'Yehuda Bar Nachmeni Misur Gamani. The next day, he takes his interpreter, Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, to go pay a Shiva call. Amar Le Kum Ema Milsa Kol Kavil Yanuka. So they basically said to Rechia, you know, you were his Rebbe, why don't you get up and say something? So Pasach V'Amar V'Yar Hashem V'Yinatz Mikaz Banav Uvnosav. He cited the Pasach in Parashas Ha'azinu that says that God saw and he was attacked or blasphemed because of the anger of his sons and daughters. Dorsha avos menatzim lahakadosh baruch hu koes al b'nehem b'al b'nosehem u'meisim kishehin k'tanim. So Rav Chia said that a generation where the sons and the daughters are angry against Hashem, the children die young. So the obvious question was v'ika da'amrei. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says v'ika da'amrei bachur hava. There were those who said that this child of Reish Lakish wasn't just a little kid. He was already a little bit of an adult. Maybe he was 18, 20 years old, whatever it was. And this is really what Rav Chia meant to say. So he said a pasuk from Yeshayahu, which literally translates to something along the lines of, therefore the young men don't rejoice, and the orphans and the widows, they don't, there's no compassion towards them, because everyone is a flatterer, and everyone does things that are evil and wretched, that everyone speaks with nevala, everyone speaks in ways that are inappropriate, and nonetheless, God's hand was never retracted. What does that mean? Maiva odia donituya. Amar Rav Chanan Barav hakol yodin kala leman nechnasa lechupa elakol hamenabel piv umotzi dvar nevala mipiv afilu nechtam lo gzardino shal shivim shana letova nepach alav lera. So there's a famous idea that everyone knows what happens when a chassan and kala go into the room together when they're miyachet together, but anyone who has the audacity to actually speak that out and speak inappropriately about it, so even if they have a gzardin, they have a decree, in other words, a positive decree for 70 years, Hashem will tear that up and will make it evil. So in other words, the idea being that you shouldn't speak about things that are inappropriate. So the Gemara then, yeah. Well, I mean, you're not supposed to learn Torah, but you're allowed to talk about things that are pertinent to Shiva, to Avelis, in other words, you're allowed to learn certain things, right? Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara then asks, Asa l'nachume, tsa'urikam tsa'ir, like, what kind of a drush is this, right? Rav Chia was Reish Lakish's son's Rebbe, and he comes in and gives the whole spiel about, well, the reason why he died is because no one's following in the ways of the Torah. It's not exactly the most appropriate thing to say in a Shiva house. You want to go to a Shiva house, someone who just lost a son, and say, well, your son died because, You know, I don't know, because he wasn't following Torah mitzvah. Seems like a very, you know, kind of insensitive thing to say. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi ka'amarle. Chashiv adla aspuse adara. He was saying the opposite. He was saying that your son is so chashiv that he is, the reason why he died is because he is an atonement for the sins of the generation. He's such a big tzaddik. He's so chashiv that he's atoning for everyone else's avirus. So amarle, kumi mamilsa keneged shivcho shal ha-kadosh baruch hu. Pasach v'yamar hakel ha-gadol berov gadlo. Adir v'chazak berov no ra'os. Mechayim esim b'mamaro. Seg dolo Then he says, you know, to Rav Chia, get up and say, you know, a praise of Hashem. And he gets up with this whole beautiful bracha. He says, you know, God, this great, powerful God who, you know, resuscitates the dead, and he does all these wondrous things. You know, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayim Isim, again, which is, you know, kind of parallels a little bit the bracha that we say in Shemona Esrei. Amar Le Kumei Mamilsa Keneged Avilim. Then he says, you know, say something to correspond to the Avilim. So Pasach V'Amar Achenu Hamiyugaim Hamidukain Ba'avel Hazeh Tenu Levachem Lach Akores Zos Zosi Omedes La'ad Nesivu Misheshes Yemei Vereshes Rabim Shasu Rabim Yishtu Kemishti Rishonu Kachmishti Achronim Achenu Bal Nechamos Yenachim Eschem Baruch Menachim Avilim. Again, essentially, he's talking to the Avilim and saying, even though you're depressed and you're in a state of mourning, and he says, but basically the concept of death is something which is built into the world. It's been around since the times of creation. He says many people have experienced death. Many people will continue to experience death. It's just the way of the world. And he ends off and says, Baruch Menachem Avelim. So Amar Rabaye, Rabim Shasu Lema, Rabim Yishtu Lo Lema, Mishtei Rishonim Lema, Mishtei Achronim Lo Lema. The Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish Shochein Tanim Yishmei Rabbi Yosi LaOlam Al Yiftach Adam Piv LeSatan. So the Gemara says that comes about in comments, he says, you can reference the fact that people have died in the past, but to say people will continue to die in the future, it's not a great thing to say. This is the famous idea that a person should not give an opening or a foothold to the satan. Don't say, people are going to die in the future. It's not a great thing to say, because you're leaving the door open for the satan to go ahead and actually do that. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra, Kistom Hayinu La'amora Daminu, Maya Hadarle, Shemu Devar Hashem, Kitzinei Sedom. What's the source in Tanakh for this concept that you shouldn't leave the door open, you know, for the satan? So it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's actually coming up in a few weeks in the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon. So the Pasuk says that we're like Sodom and we're compared to Amora, and then right away the Pasuk goes on to say, listen here, you know, listen up, the officers of Sodom. So we compare ourselves to Sodom, and then Hashem turns around and basically calls us the officers of Sodom. Amar Le, Kumi Mamilsa Keneged Menachem Avel. Then he says, go in and say something to correspond to those who have come to be Menachem Avel. Pasach va'amar achinu gom lichasadim b'nei gom lichasadim hamachazikim b'vriso shal Avraham Avinu achinu bal hagmul yishalem lachem gemul lachem baruch atah mishalem hagmul. Basically, he praises the fact that these very kind-hearted people, the descendants of Avraham Avinu, have come to be Menachem Avel. Amar leikumim amilsa keneged kol Yisrael. Pasach va'amar ribon ha'olamim p'dei v'hatzel ma'leir hoshea amecha Yisrael min ha'dever u'min ha'cherev u'min ha'bizo u'min ha'shidafon u'min ha'yerakon u'mikol minei forah. So again, essentially, he's saying this bracha, you know, as a form of protection for the Jewish people, that they shouldn't be, you know, attacked by pestilence, by the sword, by plagues, famine, anything like that. You know, that God should protect them from anything bad. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar ula va'amrila b'masniza tana asara kosos tiknu chachamim b'veisa avel shlosha kodem achila kedei liftoach es b'nei me'av shlosha besoch achila kedei lishros achila she b'me'av." The arba ala achar achila echad keneged azan veechad keneged birkas haaretz echad keneged bonei Yerushalayim veechad keneged hatov vehametiv hosifu aleim arba echad keneged chazanei ha'ir veechad keneged parnasei ha'ir veechad keneged beis hamikdash veechad keneged rabban gamliel. So basically, there was a takana. There were 10 cups of wine that were drunk at a beis ha'avel. 3 were to open up the people's digestive system to make it easier to eat. 3 were drunk during the meal to help with the digestive process to get the food to go down a little bit easier. And then the last 4 were corresponding to the 4 brachos of benching, and then they added an additional 4 to correspond to all the various leaders of the community and to the Beis Hamikdash and to Rabban Gamliel. But then the Gemara says Heschilu Hayushosinu Mishtakrin Hechaziru Hadavar Liosh. The problem was people were drinking 14 cups of wine at a shiva house. People started to get a little bit drunk, so they kind of bumped it back to the original 10. My Rabban Gamliel, why was there a cup of wine instituted corresponding to Rabban Gamliel? Desanya Barishona Hayisahutzah Sameis Kashelikrovav Yoser Mimisa So Asha Yumanichemoso Vorchen Shabbat Rabban Gamliel v'na kalus ba'atmo v'hotziu bechle pishdan v'na gu kolam acharav l'hotzi bechle pishdan. Amar Rav Papa v'ha'idna nohogalma afilu b'tzar da barzuz. A famous Gemara that basically people initially found that the burial was actually worse than the death, because the burial was so expensive that people were kind of just leaving the dead bodies out. They weren't attending to them. So Rabban Gamliel, after he died, he basically told his relatives, bury me in some cheap flax that's not too expensive. And then people took that as a lesson. They said, okay, we're not going to spend an exorbitant amount of money on the burial process. So because of that, he kind of changed everyone's mindset or thought process when it came to burial. So people drank a cup of wine corresponding to him. And Rav Papa says that today we spend even less money than Rabban Gamliel did on the burial. We spend even on hemp or whatever, on this kind of cloth that's just worth a zuz. Okay, Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ha'omer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Neman Lo'osrala. So imagine a guy comes into Bezin and says, my wife was not a Basula. Pesach Pasuach Matzasi is another way of saying that her hymen was already broken open. So he doesn't have intrinsic credibility because we don't believe him to say that she's not a Basula, but he is believed insofar as saying that she is now forbidden to him. In other words, he's essentially admitting that she was Mizana, that she had an affair. So that means that she is forbidden to him. So the Gemara says, but hang on a second, V'yamai, Sfek Sfekahu, Sfek Tachtav, Sfek Ain Tachtav, Im Tim Salomer Tachtav, Sfek Ba'ones, Sfek Beratz. And the Gemara says, hang on one second. Why are we believing him? Isn't this a classic example of a Sfek Sfeka? What's the Sfek Sfeka? So first of all, we don't know if she had the affair after Erisin or beforehand. That's one Sfek. If she had relations before Erisin, then that doesn't qualify as part of this discussion. And the other question is that even if she had relations after Erisin, but it's possible that she was raped. Again, assuming that she's not an Ashes Cohen, as we'll see in a second. Even if she was already Tachta, she was already married, I don't know if she already had Erisin, but if she was raped, then that's also not her fault. So the Gemara says, you're right, Lotricha be'eshes Cohen, v'iba yaseima be'eshes Yisrael, uchagon de'kabil ba'avua kidushin, p'chusa mi'baz gimel shanim yom echad. So either we're talking about an Ashes Cohen, so again, the Ashes Cohen doesn't have that second suffix, because even if she was raped, she still has surah to her husband, or we're talking about a girl who's under the age of 3 that was married off by her father, because as we've spoken about many times in the past, a girl who's under the age of 3, her bia doesn't count for anything. So therefore, there is no such thing for a girl who's under the age of 3 of being, of having relations. Any relations that she has is completely meaningless. So those are the two possible cases where this halacha can still apply. Okay.